Padre Pio said that the rosary is the prayer of those who are victorious over everything and over everyone. Sister Lucia, who had a vision of the Virgin Mary many, many, many times, one of the greatest mystics of modern times, said, "Our Lady has given a new efficacy to the rosary, so much so that there is no problem that cannot be overcome by the power of the rosary." So where did the rosary come from? It's very important to understand the origins of the rosary, to even understand if I'm praying the rosary well. The rosary kind of existed, kind of, in a shadow, previous to its revelation to Saint Dominic. At that time, there were beads being prayed. Because there were 150 psalms, and religious would pray the liturgy of the hours, and lay people couldn't read. Remember, the printing presses didn't come along for many, many years after Christianity began. And lay people couldn't read. And so they would imitate the praying of the psalms by using beads and praying 150 prayers. So that existed for a long time. Now, there was a priest named Dominic de Guzman. He was a religious, and he was a fiery preacher. He was an incredible preacher, the kind of preacher where you would go from far off to come see him. I imagine him as being a mixture of Fulton Sheen mixed with Bishop Barron, mixed with Mother Angelica in one man. Could you imagine such a man? That's Dominic de Guzman. And he was preaching against heresies. This one was called the Albigensian heresy. And he wasn't effective. So it's like you go and you're like, man, that was good. And then you go home and they say, oh, that was a good homily. What was it about? I don't remember. Better pay attention. Take some notes next time. I want to know what the good message was. Come on. So he was really disheartened by this. Put his whole soul into preaching, trying to save souls. He gave his whole life for this. So he was disheartened and he wondered, where's the power of the New Testament? Where's the power of God that he promised? Where's the fire coming down on the earth? Where's you will do greater things in my name? I don't see it. So he begged the Virgin Mary. He said, Blessed Mother, I offer myself to you as a victim soul. I will not eat. I will not sleep. I will fast. I will do extraordinary penances. But answer me. Give me some tool. Give me some weapon that I can use to reach hardened sinners, that will call down the power of God in miraculous ways, that will allow the mercy of God to flow into my life and into the lives of every Christian who believes. And so he went several days taking the discipline, not eating, not sleeping, all night in prayer, until one evening he fainted just outside of Toulouse in France. And the Virgin Mary appeared to him, and she woke him from his slumber and said, Dominic, Dominic, my well-beloved son, our Lord is so pleased with you. And because of your faith, I'm going to give you what you've been praying for. I'm going to give you a tool, a weapon that will soften hardened hearts, that will help you to convert the most hardened sinners, call down the mercy of God, and unleash the power of the Holy Spirit across the land, as was promised. And so I'm going to give you her exact words, and we're going to break them down before we get into this. She said to him, in this type of warfare, the battering ram has been and always will be the angelic salutation, the cornerstone of the New Testament. Let's break that down just for a moment. The battering ram, the angelic salutation. Why do I need a battering ram? What did I say Jesus promised? Jesus promised the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. How do you break down the gates of hell in your family? How do you break down the gates of hell at work? How do you break down the gates of hell that are encroaching upon your very own life? The walls of sin. You need a battering ram. That's how you do it. And Mary is saying, I'm giving you a battering ram. It's the cornerstone of the New Testament. When Jesus came to this earth, we call him our Savior because nobody went to heaven. Sheol was the destiny of the dead. Truly, they were waiting for him to open the gates of heaven. How did he break down the gates of hell? How did he penetrate earth, which was under the dominion of Satan? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. It is with those words that the power of God came down on this earth, filled the Virgin Mary, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. It is with those words, Hail Mary, full of grace, that light entered the world. It is those words that always grab the attention of the Holy Spirit. It is those words that every angel in heaven had been waiting for since the fall of Adam and Eve. It is those words that were prefigured in the garden. God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. It is those words that began the beginning of the end of the devil. And so too sin in your life, and so too the walls of hell in your family. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. I don't care how bad things are. I don't care how sad you are. I don't care how desperate your situation is. Hail Mary, full of grace, always, 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 always calls down the power of God. Those are the most powerful words in the human language, because without those words, there would be no Eucharist, there would be no confession, there would be no crucifixion, there would be nothing, because there would be no Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate, God become man, without Mary's yes to that angel. So those are the words that are the battering ram. They are the cornerstone of the New Testament. They're the beginning of the change. And so too in every single one of your problems. You might feel like you're uttering empty words. Just keep saying them. Just keep saying them, because those words are spirit and light and truth and fire. And they will set your heart on fire if you say them enough. Then Mary continued. So she said, in this type of warfare, the battering ram is the angelic salutation, the cornerstone of the New Testament. Dominic, preach my Psalter. Number one thing she told them to do was preach it. What does that mean? Promote it. Well, I'm not a preacher. I don't care if you're a preacher or not. Promote the rosary. When your family members are depressed or anxious or don't have a job, teach them the rosary. I've got so many circumstances of people who have family members who are in the pit of their own hell, that they've created themselves. They've hit rock bottom, they've dug their own grave, and they've jumped in it, and they don't have any hope. And at that moment, you say, let's pray the rosary. Let me teach you the rosary. The fruit of the rosary is peace, guaranteed every single time. The fruit of the rosary is peace. Mary will bring peace to your soul so that you can pick your head up at the very least. I don't know if your problem's gonna go away, but at the very least, you'll be able to breathe. That's when you bring it to them. Preach it, promote it, wherever you're at. Join CCD, volunteer. Tell your coworkers, here's a rosary. There's something about Mary, and there's something about the gift of a rosary that touches the human heart. It's like you're handing the person a package of seeds, and you're handing this, hey, I made this rosary for you. I know you're going through a tough time. You said that your aunt died, and you're really distraught by that. I bought you this rosary. And they receive it. Thank you so much. This means so much to me. I'm going to put this in my room. And that little seed will begin to grow. You've planted it. The holy name of Mary. Get people to say it. And just as you know that I'm living because I'm breathing, the person that says the name of Mary, that calls upon the name of Mary, you know that their soul is alive. And if they're not alive, she's going to bring them to life very quickly. So preach the rosary. But she didn't use the word rosary. The Virgin Mary didn't say, preach the rosary. That word came later. She said, preach my Psalter. Preach my Psalter. When St. Dominic was preaching the beads, he was not preaching this. He was not preaching this. When St. Louis de Montfort, in the book The Secret of the Rosary, was promoting the beads, he was not preaching this. If you were to open the book, The Secret of the Rosary, and hear what St. Dominic was preaching, and hear what Louis de Montfort was preaching, Psalter, 150. 150 Hail Marys. 50 in the morning, 50 in the afternoon, 50 in the evening. And if you do this, this will happen. Why? Why 150? That, the rosary kills me. I hate that thing. It's so boring. Objectively, my brothers and sisters, you're repeating the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over 50 times, and I'm going to repeat it over 150 times. That's true. I'm going to teach you how to pray the rosary well, so that it's not boring, so that it's extraordinary, meaningful. But if you say it's boring, I understand. If you say it kills you to pray that thing, it's like, it kills me. What did I say Mary's job was to do? To make you like Christ, so that you will be a temple of the Holy Spirit, so that you will bring the power of God wherever you go. How does the rosary accomplish that? Because Mary's a genius. And if it looks like it's not working, I'm probably wrong. Not me, because I'm right, because I'm preaching what Mary wants, but you're probably wrong. What is the rosary? First ingredient, death. Death. It does kill you. To stop what I'm doing, to turn off the radio on my way to work, to not watch Fox News or CNN or whatever ideology you're trying to push, to turn that off for 25 minutes is to say to myself, no, no, Gabriel, not what you want, you die. I pray the rosary on my way to work. I pray a rosary on my way home from work. I pray a rosary in the morning. I pray lots of rosaries. When I'm praying my rosary on my way home from work, I'm honest, I'm tired when I'm going home from work. I'm only thinking about one person, me. And what I want to do when I get home from work is chill out. I also would like to eat food that tastes delicious and that is already prepared for me. And I want to be left alone and I want to look at my phone and I want to veg out, if I'm being honest with you. But then on my way home from work, I pray this thing. And one Hail Mary at a time, Gabe dies. That's me, Gabi, Gabriel, whatever you want to call me. I die inside. Selfish me dies. And the voice of God begins to work. And I begin to hear God say, you know who else is tired? Your wife. You know who needs your attention? Your son and your daughter. You know who's not getting enough attention? This child or that child. Spend time with them. They need you. And by the time I'm done with the rosary, independent, selfish Gabe has been killed. It took 50 Hail Marys. It took a beating with 50 stones. But by the time I'm done, I'm willing to do God's will. And I have the grace and the courage to do it. So it does kill you. There is a certain death you experience, especially with the first rosary. People who pray multiple rosaries will tell me when they went from one to multiple, whatever number that is for you, when they went from one to multiple, they tell me, you know, it's strange. It's harder to just pray one rosary than it is to pray this number. Yeah, you know why? Because once you die the first time, you have this spiritual life in you, and then the time your second rosary comes around, you recognize that you're losing oxygen, you get fresh oxygen, and you exist in the presence of God all day long. So ingredient number one to the rosary is a death to myself. But what did Jesus say? Unless you die, you will not live. And so remember I said doing God's will is the number one thing you should be focused on? You're too busy thinking about your own will. All of you, myself included. I'm selfish and I want to do what I want to do and nobody's going to tell me what to do. But when I pray the rosary and I have that habit of constancy, I hear the voice of God and I do His will. The second ingredient is the vocal prayers. Our Father's Hail Marys. Those words, our Father who art in heaven, came from Jesus Christ Himself when the apostles said, teach us how to pray. When they said, give us a lesson on prayer, Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Those are very powerful prayers. There's so much wisdom hidden in those our Fathers. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. We talked about how that is the cornerstone of the New Testament. Our Protestant brothers and sisters, well-meaning but ignorant. They're wrong. They'll say, that's such a Marian prayer. Why are you doing the Marian part 50 times? That is the Christocentric prayer. That angel only said, Hail Mary, full of grace, because the second person of the Holy Trinity was going to become human. There's this saying in the Gospels that Mary pondered all things in her heart. What did Mary ponder the most? I asked myself that because I want to be like Mary. What did she ponder the most? St. Teresa of Avila says meditation on the passion of Christ is the most fruitful thing you can ponder. So immediately I was like, well, she had to ponder the passion. Well, then why isn't the rosary nothing but passion prayers? Because Mary pondered the most what? The incarnation. So we say Hail Mary 50 times because that's what Mary pondered the most. That God became man. When she held the child Jesus in her arms and was nursing him, she had to marvel. God became man and is sucking milk out of my breast. When she saw her child running and playing, God became man and is 3 years old and is playing in my front yard. When she saw him lost in the temple, God became man and I lost him. I lost him for 3 days. And then I found him and he was like, didn't you know I should be in my father's house? And I pondered this in my heart, like, what the heck is happening? She gets it, but like, when she saw him hanging on the cross, God became man, and now he's being murdered and allowing himself to suffer. At the heart of all of that are the words of the incarnation, Hail Mary, full of grace. So those words do penetrate me. And when you're suffering and you're depressed and life isn't fair, and you say it 50 times, Hail Mary, full of grace, something does happen in your soul. Did you say, I have a problem. This person is a jerk. This isn't fair. But God became man for me to change the meaning of suffering so that I can win and we will overcome because God loves me so much. The most important thing, I think, those words are great. Those words are great, but that's not the rosary. Okay? The most important part of this, and I'm going to teach you a quick lesson. I have to do it. I have to teach you this lesson. The most important part is meditation on the mystery. Now, the devil has done a good job of confusing the word meditation. When I heard meditation, I would have a little pamphlet. This is how I learned it. And because I am the typical man, I assume all of you are also as dumb as me. You might be smarter than me. When I heard meditate on the mystery, I would open a pamphlet, read a scripture verse, look at a picture, and be like, got it. Baby Jesus was born. Got it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The King, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. That's what I would think. I got the picture in my mind. I'm good. That is not what any of the saints meant by meditation. What Teresa of Avila meant by meditation was not that. What St. Alphonsus, I mentioned her because she's a doctor of prayer. She's one of my best friends. St. Alphonsus Liguori did not mean that when he said meditation. St. Francis de Sales, the doctor of the Universal Church, did not mean that. St. John of the Cross, the doctor of mysticism, did not mean that. Three steps of what they meant. If you have the pen, I recommend you write this down. I have a 2-hour presentation just on this topic that you really should go and watch because this will change your life. This is like adding rocket fuel to your prayer life. But I'm just going to give it very specifically how to do it in the rosary. So step one of all prayer, write this word down if you have a pen. Recollection. What does that mean? Make an act of faith in the presence of God. So let's say, for example, you're praying the third joyful mystery, the birth of the child Jesus in Bethlehem. This takes 30 seconds, although it's going to take me 2 minutes to explain. So the third joyful mystery, the birth of the child Jesus in Bethlehem. What do you do first? God, I believe you're here. Where are you? Like here, like close. I'm a temple of God. I'm a member of the body of Christ. God is holding me into existence. With every breath I take, God is so close. Make an act of faith in that. Step number two. So that's number one, recollection. Make an act of faith, become aware of the presence of God. He's there even if you don't feel it. Step number two, consideration. Consideration. Consider this. In your imagination, and I know you're going to say, my imagination don't work. I have this illness called whatever. You don't have that illness. 1% of the population has that illness. If you have that illness, I have the solution. Get a picture and look at it, okay? But for the rest of us, I'm not trying to be ugly to you, but I hear this excuse everywhere I go. 99% of you do not all have this illness, okay? You look at your phone too much. That's your problem. Consider this. And this is what St. Teresa of Avila said, what St. Francis de Sales said, what St. Alphonsus said, doctors of the church, much smarter and greater authority than all of us. In your mind, imagine some aspect of the nativity as if you were really present. I'm going to do that for you. God, I believe you're present. Imagine that you're holding a fat baby, the fattest baby. You know, the feet that look like a loaf of bread with little twigs that come out and like legs that you just want to squeeze them. You can think about any aspect of that. You can imagine a fat face with brown eyes and just like the lips that stick out. Oh, what a cute fat child. So step number one, God is present. Step number two, consider some aspect to the best of your ability in your imagination until it makes an impression on you. So what made an impression on me? His fat legs. Oh my gosh. Because I can visualize fat legs. I've seen fat legs before. Step number three, conversation. Tell fat baby Jesus your problem. Fat baby Jesus, I'm so stressed. I'm going to lose my job and I have no money. What are you going to do about it? You fat little baby, you're so cute. But we're not done with our conversation. Pause for 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Let go of the wheel. Stop controlling it. So up to this point, you've controlled it. I thought about something till my heart was moved a little bit. I asked the little Jesus what's already on my heart, what I really want. That's why I'm praying. Let's be honest. I'm praying because I want something, okay? Let's not fake anybody here. I tell fat baby Jesus what I want. Then I pause and I let go and I allow him to move my imagination and my heart. You're praying because you need money. You're about to lose your job. And you look at the fat baby Jesus. You don't hear it here, but you feel it here when you look into his eyes, and then you realize you're holding the God of the entire universe. Somehow in your heart, you get the idea that he's trying to communicate to you. You look into his eyes and you feel it in your soul that he says, I trust you to hold me. You're holding the creator of the universe. Won't you trust me to hold you? And you're like, is this my imagination? How do you know when God is speaking? What did I say at the beginning of our talk yesterday? When he's moving in your heart, I can tell myself lots of stuff here, but God alone speaks to me here. And when you feel the movement of your heart, that consolation, that is God. That is God. And if you do that at the crucifixion and you imagine Jesus breathing heavy, or you can't even imagine that. You can just imagine blood. You know what blood looks like. Don't tell me you can't imagine. Just imagine blood dripping. And then you look at the crucified Jesus and say, Lord, I need the conversion of my son. You died for him. Grant him the grace of conversion. And you pause and you feel it in your heart. He says, I did die for him. Will you die for him? And you feel that conviction in your heart to suffer and sacrifice for the child that you gave life to. Jesus died for him. Will you die for him? Then you say, heck yeah, I'll do it. Let's go. You want to fight? Let's fight. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then the rosary comes alive because you've spent time with Christ. St. Teresa of Avila says, if you've gone to prayer and you have not encountered Christ, what are you doing? Because it's not praying. Now, there will be times where you are so desolate because you're depressed, you're anxious, you're full of anxiety. A family member just died. You can't even think straight. In those times, just get it done. Just say the words. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Even if you say, well, I can't even focus. I just get it done. Just get it done. The devil is a lawyer. Mary's not a lawyer. The devil will say to you, that wasn't a good rosary. Our Lady will say, did you pray the rosary? Yes. Did you do the best you could? I tried my best. Sometimes my best is terrible. Just get it done. Now, Our Lady is a good mother. She's a good mother. She crushes the head of the serpent. A lot of things happen when you pray the rosary. The devil is crushed. The devil is crushed when you pray the rosary. You're tempted to sin. You start that rosary. Even if you don't have the willpower to do the whole one, say, I'm just going to pray one Hail Mary of the rosary. Then you'll have the grace to pray the second one. The devil will be crushed. If you're addicted to something, you have an addiction. Yes, there are biological, natural addictions. It happens with drugs and alcohol and sexuality. Yeah, there are biological ties, but the devil puts his hand in that and he gets involved and he tags himself onto these urges that we have. You need the help of Mary who crushes the head of the serpent. Young people, one of the greatest things that you will be discerning in your life is God's call for your life. Who you're going to marry. If you're going to be a religious, if God is calling you to be a priest, I give you my word, if you pray the rosary every day, you will know God's will for your life because the Holy Spirit will begin to work in your heart. Parents, you have a battle going on for your children's souls. You must force them to pray the rosary as long as they are under your roof. And the earlier you start, the less of a battle it will be. I know it's tough. And you'll say to me, I don't want to force them because they don't like the Catholic Church and they're going to leave. I work with high school teens. They're going to leave. They're going to leave unless you do this. They all leave unless they pray the rosary. The ones who are faithful, the ones who are good, the ones who keep the Catholic faith, I ask them, do you pray at home? Yes, I do. You pray with your parents? Yeah, they make us pray. What do y'all pray? We pray the rosary. Do you like it? No, I hate it. Okay, good. Just making sure because I don't like it either. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. I love the rosary now because I no longer view the rosary as my burden. I view the rosary as my path to success, and it will be your path to success if you persevere in it. Parents, you can't always be with your children. Husbands and wives cannot always be together. But if they pray the rosary as a family, the Virgin Mary goes with your children. The Virgin Mary goes with your spouse. And I have seen families stick together, be reconciled, miraculous conversions happen when the family prays together. And when the family doesn't, as long as there's one person in the family who's willing to go above and beyond the call of duty to pray in the name of the other family member. And then you, wife, take up the rosary and you pray four rosaries in atonement for your husband. And they say, why are you always praying the rosary? Because you won't. Things will change. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. Priests, I know all the priests are hearing confessions, but maybe they're watching this on the video. Priests have a special obligation, and this also applies to parents. When you pray the rosary, one of the charisms of the Virgin Mary is to crush the head of the serpent. And when you pray the rosary, Our Lady gives you hints as to how the serpent is in the garden and will give you warnings and will prompt you to make changes and to do certain things to protect the children of the family. And so if you're a priest, if you're a religious educator, if you're a parent, when you pray the rosary, Our Lady loves those kids more than you do. You have to grasp that. She loves them infinitely more than you do. And when you become in tune with what she wants by praying the rosary, she will prompt your heart on what you need to do, what you need to say, where you need to send your child, because she wants them to go to heaven more than you. That applies to religious educators, that applies to priests, all of it. And Our Lady has the power of the Holy Spirit so that when you do her will, the power of God flows through you through that. Conformity to the will of God through Mary is a hidden source of nuclear power. I receive the sacraments every day. I go to Mass every single day. Often I go to Mass twice a day because I want that nuclear power. I want that fusion, that fire of God to come down upon me. But Mass is over and the grace only continues to flow if I conform my will to the will of God at every single moment. It's so powerful. And the rosary will help you to do that. Every saint after the Protestant Reformation, I've done my research on all the lives of the saints. There is not a saint that I am aware of who did not pray all of the mysteries of the rosary every single day. St. Teresa of Avila, the whole rosary. St. John of the Cross, the whole rosary. St. Ignatius of Loyola, the whole rosary. St. Alphonsus Liguori, the whole rosary. St. Francis de Sales, St. Francis Borgia, St. Pope John Paul II, Mother Teresa, St. John the 23rd, St. John Vianney. Every saint, Padre Pio prayed so many more. Every saint prayed the full rosary every day. But they didn't do that because they were saints. That is what made them saints. The rosary transformed them. Pope John Paul II said, the number of people who were made saints by the power of the rosary cannot be counted. It is the easiest path to become a saint. Every single Marian apparition, starting with Lourdes, the Virgin Mary appeared to Saint Bernadette 18 times with a rosary around her arm. The apparition only began when Bernadette began the rosary. The apparition only lasted the length of the rosary. When Mary appeared at Fatima in 1917 to the three shepherd children, at every single apparition, she said, pray the rosary, tell other people to pray the rosary. They must pray the rosary as much as possible every single day. when the Virgin Mary appeared in Cabejo, church-approved apparition, where the Virgin Mary warned of the Rwandan genocide. She said, people must convert themselves and pray the Rosary of Our Lady of Sorrows. We'll talk about that a hair in a moment. At Akita, Japan, church-approved apparition, the Virgin Mary told Sister Agnes Sasagawa that everybody must pray the Rosary. This has been her message. Do it. Do it. And Mary has special promises. Because I talk too much, I'm only going to give you three of the promises, but you can Google them and take them to the bank. Mary keeps her promises. Promise number one that she gave to Saint Dominic and to Blessed Alan for those who pray. Again, not necessarily every single one of you is going to go home after tonight and pray all the mysteries of the Rosary, but I have to tell you what the promises are for that. And like a weight lifter, you start small and you build up. And you discern and you pray about what is God calling you specifically. Because whatever God is calling you specifically to do, that is what you will do, because you will have the conviction of Almighty God in your heart. But I am sharing with you the promises that I know are guaranteed for this amount of prayers. Number one, whoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the Rosary shall receive signal graces, signs, graces from God, gifts from God that are signs to guide you. So in the spiritual life, I said the number one thing is God's will. You discern God's will through the discernment of spirits. Consolation, strengthening in the soul, peace of soul to sacrifice, to pray more, to be good, to avoid sin. We call that consolation. That is the voice of God. The voice of the devil, we call that desolation. Encouragement to sin, discouragement from doing good and holy things, telling you to skirt your obligations, fear, anxiety, depression. Sometimes those can be biological, but oftentimes those are spiritual darknesses that enter the soul. Those darknesses can only be removed by the type of prayer I shared with you earlier, which is theologically called mental prayer. So when you're praying the Rosary, the head of the serpent will be crushed. Mary's the spouse of the Holy Spirit, the consoler. You will hear the voice of God. But she's also promising you will receive signs as confirmations in addition to those consolations. I'll just give you a quick example. I was not feeling well the first day that we arrived. I was very tired. I was worn out. I was beaten up. I push myself too hard sometimes, and sometimes our Lord allows me to suffer things for there to be grace for all of us, for me to say the word of God and for you to hear the word of God. So I asked my mom, please, please pray for me. I didn't want her to tell anybody, but she told all the girls in her group, which was very embarrassing. I was like, Mom, I'm getting text messages of people saying, I'm praying for you. Did you tell people that I was in desperate need of prayer? Please next time ask me. I love you. And my mom is my warrior. I didn't get to cover that in last night's talk. My mom fasts like crazy. She does several 24-hour fasts every week. She's a prayer warrior. She's always in the chapel. But this one time she told all of her other prayer warrior friends, and I was very embarrassed because I don't want people to think I'm a basket case. Because I'm not most of the time. I was literally standing in that back corner by Padre Pio, and I'd just taken a picture of it. And the first time my mom has ever said this to me, and she said, I'm praying for you, and I just sent my guardian angel to Padre Pio. And I said, well, your guardian angel sure is powerful, because I'm literally over here in the back standing by Padre Pio. And that's just an example that she sent her guardian angel to Padre Pio, and as a sign that God is hearing her prayers and that she's on the right track, I happen to be standing in front of a Padre Pio. Some people could say, that's a coincidence. There's no such thing as coincidence, Thomas. Doubter, come on. That's an example of a signal grace. Promise number two. I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all of those who shall recite the Rosary. If you pray the Rosary, God will protect you. I promise you bad things will still happen. In the lives of all of the saints, even in the lives of the three shepherd children, Francisco and Jacinta prayed many rosaries a day. Jacinta was only 7 years old. Don't you be telling me, little kids, my kid's too small. He's not. Is he seven? Has he made his first communion? He's old enough to pray the Rosary. That's why Our Lady appeared to a seven-year-old to put all of us adults to shame, because those little kids all prayed the full Rosary every single day. But she told Jacinta and Francisco, are you willing to accept tribulations that God is going to send you for the salvation of souls? And they said, yes, we'll suffer anything for God. We just want souls to go to heaven. I'm not promising you that you're not going to have crosses. I can't promise you that. I do promise you that you will have protection. You will see the face of the Virgin Mary, maybe not physically, but spiritually. You'll be carrying the cross and you'll look over and she'll do something that says, I'm with you. And we see that in the life of St. Pope John Paul II, one of my dear friends. On May 13th, the anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, he was in St. Peter's Square. And at the exact minute that it was said that the apparition originally happened, the day and the minute, my sisters and brothers, there's no such thing as a coincidence. A gunman pulls out a gun and shoots him at point blank range. I'm from Texas, and I pride myself in that. But I'll be honest, I don't shoot guns very often. And I might even hold it like this. But even if I held the gun like this and was like, ooh, ooh, that had a lot of kickback, I probably wouldn't miss somebody if they were 6 feet away. And this person was about 6 feet away and was an expert. And the bullets went in perfectly to the vital organs. But somehow, look, your organs are so squished together. Somehow they just grazed and missed perfectly the vital organs. And John Paul II knew when they asked him, Holy Father, how do you explain that you're alive? You should not be alive. How do you explain this? It's very clear. One finger pulled the trigger, but another was guiding the bullets. He suffered. It happened. But he was protected. We will have crosses in our lives, but we won't be overwhelmed by misfortune. The third promise is really why I've come here and why I said yes to Father Peter. The rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, destroy it, humiliate it, give it hemorrhoids. It will decrease sin, and it will defeat heresies. My brothers and sisters, sin abounds. A priest asked me at lunch today what percentage that I thought of young men that were addicted to pornography. And if I'm being completely honest, I told him, I said 99.999999%. But you know what? The ones that I know who have come to me and have needed liberation and freedom, those who have taken up praying the entire rosary, because you can only become free of a slavery to the devil when you go all in and you're willing to die. You're willing to die in the morning. You're willing to die at noon. You're willing to die in the evening. And you're willing to die before bed. When you're willing to do whatever it takes to break free from that slavery, I give you my word. You begin praying the rosary. You begin encouraging the rosary, especially the full rosary. I've never seen it where somebody's prayed the full rosary and they remained a slave to the devil. Never seen it. In every single circumstance, I've seen that person becomes free and becomes a liberator of souls. Have become priests, religious, youth ministers, leaders in their communities, and have helped to liberate people once they were originally slaves. I myself was a slave. And I'm not a slave anymore, thanks be to God, by the grace of the Virgin Mary. I know many of you have family members who are away from the church. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I went and I was preaching a mission to high school teenagers. And one of the things I like to do when I preach to teenagers is relate to them, that I understand their struggle and that they are searching for meaning and purpose. And I'll give it to you. I will. I will teach you the meaning of your life and you will fulfill God's plan for your life. And so I was preaching really hard because these were some tough teens and they were in some deep sins. And I wasn't just battling flesh and blood. I was battling spiritual war that day and I was fighting as hard as I could. And I felt after I left that talk like a loser. Fortunately, I took my son with me and in the car, he was like, Dad, that was amazing. He's like, you should preach like that to our kids, like as if you're very soul dependent. I was like, okay, that's good feedback. And I got an email 2 weeks later. And the subject line read, unconventional testimony. And this woman shares in this email, she said, I have a daughter, I forget the age, I believe it was like 17 or 18, 17. I have a daughter who has been in alcohol and been in drugs, and she even wears one of these bracelets around her ankles because she's been in so much trouble with the police and she would run away from home. And after your talk, I consecrated myself to the Virgin Mary and I said, Virgin Mary, I give you my word. I will pray the rosary, the full rosary, all the mysteries of the rosary, every single day for the rest of my life for my daughter to go to heaven. And she began praying the four rosaries every single day. And she said, I don't care. Even if she converts tomorrow, even if she converts in a month, the rest of my life, you have my soul. She said several days later, maybe 5 days later, she went to sleep. She woke up around 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock-ish in the morning, that hour of the day. She knew something was wrong. She just felt it. The daughter's cat came into the room, was making all sorts of noises. So she ran up to the daughter's room. The room was empty. And so she dropped to her knees and started praying her four rosaries. At the end of the fourth rosary, she heard a banging on the door, and it was a police officer. And the police officer said, ma'am, your daughter was in a terrible car accident and she's dying and she's not going to live. You need to come to the emergency room immediately. And she got there just in time while her daughter was still alive, just for a moment. And then the daughter died. And that mom died inside. Because you can imagine, as a mom, you're fighting for the soul of your daughter. Objectively, how does it look? She ran away from home in the middle of the night. It doesn't look good. And she said the next time that she knelt down to pray the rosary, she was broken and she was crying. And she renewed her act of consecration and said, Blessed Mother, I place all of my trust in you. I'm going to continue to pray my rosary, all four mysteries, until the day that I die. I made a bargain with you and I believe you're going to keep it. And immediately, she said, all of a sudden, a warmth overtook her. A peace filled her soul, and she heard the most beautiful words that she has ever heard, the most beautiful voice with her ears. She said, your daughter has been saved. You have saved her. The Father has been merciful. St. Faustina says that before we die, we're given one last shot. I don't know what happened. I don't know what her daughter saw, neither did she. But I believe that this woman heard the voice of the Virgin Mary because she was different after that. You can imagine the brokenness of you found out that one of your children was devastatingly, just her life was taken. And this woman had peace about it. She was no longer somebody in mourning, but she had a sense of victory about her, a calm in her soul. She did it. She did it. She did what she was commissioned to do at that child's baptism. She heard the voice of God. She was convicted of it, so much so that I was convicted of it. And I believe it from the depths of my soul. That if you pray hard and daily for your children, that is Marian consecration. When you die to yourself, when you give your life to the Virgin Mary, 4 times a day, 6 times a day, 8 times a day, I don't know what you're called to do. I know many people who pray 12 rosaries a day and 10 rosaries a day because they have a job or they don't have a job and they have the freedom to do it. And they've heard the voice of God saying, I need you to step into the breach and fight. And those kind of people, do you think that their family members don't make it? Do you think God's not interested in their interests? When you give your life totally to God, you give your all, they give you their all. And they are not outdone in generosity. You think you're giving a little bit to God when you pray and you sacrifice? God will give you so much more. When you meditate upon the death of Christ with Mary, you stand at the foot of the cross when her son is dying, and you're standing there with her, keeping her company. Is she going to be outdone in generosity? Oh, heck no. She will be there by your side when your family members go one by one. And she will be there at your side when you die. How many rosaries? You need to ask Our Lady how many rosaries. You need to ask her and be open to whatever she has to say. I'm going to give you tips to persevere. I'm going to give you 5 tips on praying the rosary. Tip number 1, carry this in your hand. I'm a Texan and I said I don't shoot guns, but let me tell you what, I am loud and proud in my open carry policy. This is my spiritual weapon. You see beads. The Virgin Mary sees a bouquet of roses. The devil sees a weapon and I fire at will, baby. I'm firing Hail Marys left and right. He's ducking and covering and getting the heck out of town because I'm a wild man with a pistol shooting all in all directions. Carry your weapon with you. You're not going to pray the rosary every day or all throughout the day if you don't have a rosary with you. You got to get a rosary and spend money on it. I hate rosaries that break. I carry a little dainty one sometimes that I keep in my pocket because it's very compact and I'm very delicate with it because I need to chill out. I need to chill out sometimes. I understand. I get it. I shouldn't be drinking coffee after 6 p.m. I get it. So it helps me to relax because not everybody can handle me being so rough. And so I use sometimes a delicate rosary. But I'm clenching this sucker hard. This ain't going to break. This is made out of parachute cord with indestructible beads. This is a weapon. I literally could beat somebody with this if I had to. I'm not. I won't. Don't make me. This weapon cost me $50. But you know what I carry with me everywhere I go? My phone is several hundred dollars. What the heck? This is more important than my phone, that's for sure. Buy a rosary. And when you want a family member to pray, buy them a good-looking rosary. If you have a man in your life that you want to have a rosary, I recommend the World War I replica. It's like pull string beads. It's manly. It's shiny. It's beautiful. It's also compact. A great gift to give somebody. A great gift. Because they look at that and say, wow, this is really nice. This isn't one of those faceted gem rosaries. Buy a rosary. Carry it with you everywhere you go. Tip number two, have an intention. You will do any what if you have a why. You'll do any what if you have a why. What is your why? Who do you love? What do you love? What do you want? Ideally, we're praying because we love God. But sometimes my love of God isn't greater than my love of going to sleep, and I will talk myself into bed. So you need to have a why that's so powerful that you will get on your knees so that you don't fall asleep. Because that praying that rosary, we got to get it done. And make an intention and keep that intention as a novena, 9 days of prayer. Try for 9 days the full rosary. Or if you've never prayed the rosary a day in your life, try for 9 days one rosary. If you're doing one rosary, maybe try three rosaries. And then the fourth becomes easy. I recommend people always aim for more. Why? Because when you fail at praying one rosary, guess how many rosaries you've prayed that day? Zero. When you fail at praying four, you got three done. When you fail at praying nine, maybe you did eight. So aim high so that if you fail, you haven't gone to bed without praying. Tip number three, don't be scrupulous. Don't be scrupulous. Some people say, it took me 45 minutes to pray the rosary. What are you doing? What exactly is happening that is taking you 45 minutes to pray the rosary? Well, I forget where I'm at, and then I go back, and then I forget what beat I'm on. No, ain't nobody got time for that. If I forget where I'm at, I say, Blessed Mother, you got to help me. I will give her three more beads of whatever mystery that I remember that I was on. I'm going to give you three because we're moving on. We're praying another rosary at noon. I ain't got time for this. I'm almost at work. Do your best. I'm not saying pray poorly, but G.K. Chesterton would say, if something is worth doing, it's worth doing badly. It's better to do something poorly than to not do anything at all. It's better to try and celebrate your mom's birthday with a Zoom call and a card and some flowers. They'd be like, well, I couldn't take her to dinner. I better not call her. Are you crazy, man? Better pull it together. Similarly, when you pray, ideally, I wish you could get on your knees. You focus really well. You pray really well. Some people say, can I fly through it? What do you mean? Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women. Holy Mary, Mother of God. So to the lady in the back. Like, what are you, an auctioneer? Can I pray that fast? This is going to shock you. Yes, you can. Go for it. Go for it. Because you know what's going to happen? You get three Hail Marys in. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord, blessed be thou among women, blessed be thou among women, holy Mary, my God, pray for sinners now and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord, I give you my word. The words themselves are efficacious. Our Lady will make you feel guilty. You will have a sense of her presence, and she will say, excuse me? Excuse me? Are you talking to me? That will happen. So whatever gets you to go, go. Do your best. But don't allow your weak human mind to keep you from something good, okay? Try your best to mental picture it, but just get it done. And I have found on days that I'm depressed, days that I can't pray, days that I feel like I haven't even prayed, even though I've been holding the beads and saying words all day, when I finished all of my rosaries, a peace comes upon me. A hedge of protection comes around me, and I experience the presence of God. Just pray and get it done. So tip number one, carry a rosary. Tip number two, have an intention. Tip number three, don't be scrupulous. Do your best, but let God take care of the rest. Tip number four, make a plan. Make a plan. You're not going to do this if you don't have a plan. If you want to succeed in life, you got to have a plan. The seven habits of highly effective people. Start with the end in mind. What is my goal? My goal is four rosaries. How am I going to reach that goal? When am I going to pray? Men will tell me, and I fight with men all the time because I like to beat up on pusillanimous men. I'm sorry, but maybe it's because I don't have a father. It makes me feel good about myself. Forgive me. I'm magnanimous. I've got something in me that likes to fight. Men will tell me, I don't have time. It's going to infringe upon my family time. Oh, how virtuous you are. Oh, how good you are. My plan for a man who wants to pray four rosaries because he wants to lead the family in prayer and shower, because I'm not going to lie, the man is the most important person in the family, the head of the household. The grace flows down from the father. If the father is holy, the children will become holy. Pope John Paul II, again, one of my dear friends, said the greatest influence in his life was watching his father pray the rosary. He would wake up because he couldn't sleep. It'd be 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. He'd hear his father making noises. What's my dad doing? And he'd peek into the room and his dad would be on his knees praying the rosary. He would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. He was supposed to wake up at 6. He would go into his father's room. Oh my gosh, the light is on in there. What is my dad doing? He's on his knees praying the rosary. He said, that was the greatest influence of my life, seeing my father pray. So for men, you feel the call to enter battle for your family. Wake up 30 minutes earlier than your family and pray the rosary. Pray a rosary on your way to work. Pray a rosary on your way home from work so you can be present to your family. Pray a rosary with your family. Have I influenced your time with daddy and daughter? I have not. Wake up early, drive, pray with your family. I have not impacted your family in any way except for positivity. There's plenty of time if it's important to us. Make a plan. Do not wait until bedtime to pray the rosary. Do not lay down in bed with the rosary and go to sleep. I have a saying, the memorare, but it's different. Never was it known that anybody who laid down with the rosary did not fall asleep unaided. If you have insomnia, by all means, lay down with the rosary, pray your Hail Marys. I used to have insomnia, I couldn't sleep. Now, I pray the rosaries that I'm intended to pray for the day. First, then I lay in my bed with my sleeping pills and my blessed mother just pats my head and I sleep so peacefully. But if you have not prayed the rosaries that you want to pray for that day and you lay down with this boy, it will not be Our Lady patting your head to go to sleep. It will be the devil himself singing you lullabies. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. He will be trying to get you to lull to sleep. There's a story from the early church fathers that a monk would always get sleepy when it was time to pray, but when another monk would come in and chat with him, all of a sudden he was very alert. It was because the evil one was tempting him not to pray. And so pray first, make a plan for prayer. My final tip for you is this. When the rosary was first given, you know this part with the Apostles' Creed, the Our Father, the three Hail Marys for the Pope? Those, I like to call them the jump-on prayers. You only need to do those prayers one time. It's like a NASCAR track. You get on the track, and then you make your loops. You don't have to make a pit stop and do the Apostles' Creed all over again. I've never seen it happen, but I've often felt, if I have to pray that Apostles' Creed one more time, I might die. For some reason, that is the straw that breaks my back. So if you're going to pray multiple, you don't have to do this intro more than once, unless you want to. And you don't have to do the conclusion prayers at the end of every one, unless you want to. Like, I like praying to St. Michael after each one of my rosaries. I like saying St. Joseph, etc. But all those in-between prayers are optional. As long as you do one Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and there's meditation on the life of Christ, ding, 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 that counts as a rosary. If you're going to do one rosary, I recommend you do whatever the mystery is for that day. If you're going to do three rosaries, I recommend you do the same mystery three times. If you're going to do four rosaries, I recommend you do the joyful, the luminous, the sorrowful, and the glorious. I think you should do, and why do I say that? Because I believe that the luminous mysteries are very important. And so if you do three and you leave them out, I think you're missing out. They're optional. John Paul II presented them as optional, but they're powerful. There's a mystery in the church, what we like to say, a grace remembered is a grace renewed. When you think about something that happened to you, it renews that grace, that fervor. And so when John Paul II presented the luminous mysteries, what he was trying to do was renew the church. Because every one of those mysteries has a corresponding negative effect in the church today that he was trying to combat. The baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. We have a crisis in the Catholic Church of baptized unbelievers. All the priests will agree, people bring their children for baptism and we never see them again. We have a crisis in the church in the sacrament of holy matrimony, an attack on the sanctity of marriage. We meditate upon the wedding feast of Cana. We have an attack on Our Lady's role as mediatrix and intercessor. We meditate upon her role at the wedding feast of Cana and her powerful intercession. A grace remembered is a grace renewed. We have a problem and a crisis in the Catholic Church. Not in Moline, because you got some dang good preachers here. But there's a crisis in the preaching, in the public ministry of Christ, where Christ proclaimed the kingdom of God is at hand and repent and believe in the Gospels. We need strong, firm preaching throughout the church. And when we meditate upon that third mystery, we renew that in our lives. We have a crisis in confidence in the power of God. And we see that in the Transfiguration. We have a crisis in the priesthood. We have a crisis in faith in the Eucharist and the real presence. We see that in the institution of the Eucharist. You meditate upon that institution of the Eucharist every day, your faith in the power of the Eucharist will be so strong. People who take up praying the four rosaries a day, you think that's drawing you closer to Mary? I give you my word, those people are in the chapel more than anybody else. They're doing long hours of adoration. They're doing long hours of Eucharistic devotion and receiving Holy Communion regularly. So the luminous mysteries are a part of God's plan for renewal for the church. And I'll conclude with this. Pray the rosary as a family. Pray the rosary as a family as if your very souls depended upon it. There is no tip I have for this. There is no tip. Every family is different. Is it messy to pray with your kids? Yes. I sometimes think that I commit more sins during the family rosary than I think that I would never commit. The number one person who doesn't want to pray the family rosary is me. At 7 o'clock at night, I've prayed a lot of rosaries. I really do just want to relax. And it's a real death for me to say, okay, everybody, in 30 minutes, we're going to pray the rosary. And my kids are believers because we've been praying the rosary since the time of childhood on the way to school, on the way home from school, because it's a part of my life. It flows into their life. But it's still hard for us to just stop and do it. My 3-year-old is stealing everybody's rosary, and my 6-year-old is laying on the couch with her legs upside down. I'm kneeling. My son's kneeling. It's a mess, okay? But you know what? By the fourth mystery, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. This is beautiful. This is the one time where all of our family is together, saying the same thing in the same room with no screen. And we feel the bond and we experience the effect. And my kids, they're good kids because we pray the rosary as a family. I make sure they go to confession regularly. We visit the Blessed Sacrament. So there's four pillars everybody should have. I can't give, it's a whole nother talk. I have a video called How to Save Souls. If you watch this talk online, I'll put a link to it. It will teach you the communion of reparation, how to take care of your family, confession, adoration, rosary, receiving the Eucharist. If you have a schedule for when you're going to go to confession, when you're going to go to adoration every week, when you're going to pray the rosary every day, receiving Holy Communion, if your children have this, they're going to be okay. If they have the rosary in their life, they're going to be okay. My brothers and sisters, it has been an honor to come and speak to your community. I pray that I can see your faces again. You've blessed me by your testimonies, by your witness, by hearing where you've come from. But if I don't come again, I only have one message for you, and it's the message of Our Lady. Pray the rosary. Preach her Psalter. And I give you my word. You will either give up the rosary or you'll give up your sins. Don't give up the rosary. Cling to Mary, and she will guide you to her Son, Jesus Christ. Let us conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed Virgin Mary, again, we surrender. We accept you as our mother. We're weak. We beg you for the grace to pray the rosary. We beg you for the grace to buy scapulars and to wear miraculous medals. We can't do it without you. You alone have the promise from God to crush the head of the serpent. We pray a Hail Mary as our sign of consecration. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for me.